This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Superchargers and turbochargers compress the air going into the engine, resulting in more oxygen for combustion. More oxygen equals more boom equals more power.
There you go.
Was that so hard?
That's like I knew.
Now
it,
I understand
as
it.
As soon as I was going to say, well, they compress the air, or you need a cold air intake.
I'm just glad to see there's like a real car person that listens to the show that can actually explain to this
to
me.
There's a lot of car people that listen to
this
show.
Instead of some phony Montana guy, you're not a car guy. You're a motorcycle guy.
Motorcycle
there's obviously
guy.
A huge
difference. My dad is a drag racer, so I grew up watching him. I grew up holding a lot of flashlights, put it that way.
We got a good conversation with Pete Carroll yesterday about aggressiveness, right? And he said, oh, they're more aggressive, and kind of talked through it and how successful it was, and especially some of the fun factor and things that went into that game for the Seahawks, which is great. Pete was asked yesterday in his press conference about some of that aggressiveness. Let me set this up. Here's a little bit of Pete.
Sometimes it goes with the game too. You know, I mean, there's a basic approach that we're trying to play really good football and trust that we're okay. And so that means you don't have to push the limits to try to get everything done right off the bat. That's basically how we go about stuff. And kick the ball deep and back them up and make them go 90 yards to score and let our defense do their thing. Our defense is playing well enough that we can play that way. And really, it depends, Greg, on, you know, it's not always as clear as it was this week, you know, and Niners, you know, all that, they've been playing so good. It had something to do with it. We thought we needed to match them up.
All right, so I didn't really set that up very well. The question that Pete was asked there is kind of the important one. Why did you just start being aggressive now? Why didn't you do this earlier? You were super aggressive in this game. Why was this the first time we saw the aggressive freewheeling Seahawks? Why didn't we see it earlier? And Pete's answer is sort of all over the place. I'm not sure you fully get it. I'll give you five reasons why I think they just were aggressive really for the first time last week. Number one, the defense was so bad early that they had to protect their defense.
Bad early in the year or bad in the
in the year.
Okay.
That why were you just now aggressive in this game? That early in the year, your defense was historically bad.
Right.
They were giving up yards at a record clip. You needed to protect them. If you had been aggressive, right, going forward on fourth down, et cetera, some of those risks could have resulted in just a complete disaster and just getting run right out of the building. You had to do everything in your power to try to stick around longer.
Understand that.
So that would be reason one. Reason two, then you didn't have Russ. So without Russ, what are you going to do? Let Geno cut it loose? You want to be super aggressive with Geno Smith? I don't think that makes any sense.
That sounds like turnovers.
Then Russ comes back, and injured Russ wasn't much better than Geno Smith, as we saw. In fact, I've made a fairly reasonable argument that an injured Russ was worse than Geno Smith. 55% completions, right? 9 points per game. That the Russ we saw wasn't capable of cutting it loose, because he couldn't accurately throw the football where he wanted to. You want to get crazy and let that guy start being aggressive all over the football field? I don't think so. Right?
Sure.
So it's difficult to be aggressive when, A, you have a terrible defense like you did early in the year, then you have Geno Smith, and then you have Russell Wilson, who's not quite Russell Wilson. Number four, in a couple of those games where maybe you could have had the possibility of cutting it loose, the weather didn't cooperate. Maybe you felt like you could have done that against New Orleans or Green Bay or you needed to, but you couldn't play aggressively in those games and take some of those extra chances because the weather was so bad, you had to play very conservatively and try to just, like, you know, wait for the big moment. So those would be my first four. The fifth, maybe they just hadn't thought of it yet.
About being super aggressive?
Just hadn't thought of it.
Just playing conservative, and it's like, no, actually, maybe we should play.
Just hadn't thought of it yet.
A little more wild card.
And I know that sounds sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I think that there are times where we forget just how fragile success is. Right? You ever wonder about that, how fragile success might be? You ever worry about what's out there and might, like, take you down?
Well, how close you are.
Yeah,
very thin sheet of glass holding things back.
Yeah. Like every once in a while, I'll have that moment of like, things are good. Things are good in my life. They could all go south at any moment. And I think that way. I invest and then I'm like, sheesh, I really hope I don't lose all this money. I get a job and I really like, okay, well, what happens if I get fired? Like that's sort of my mindset of like, how do I protect what I have? Because I'm constantly worried that there are threats from the outside
yeah.
that will completely blow up my life in some way or another. And sometimes I miss them. Sometimes they come from unforeseen places, or sometimes you expect them and there's still nothing you can do about it. But I think it's a fairly typical thing as you get older, and I've read a little bit about this, as you sort of enter middle age, being a parent, it is not uncommon, especially for men, to kind of have this fear of being knocked off your spot, that you've created a spot for yourself where you're happy and you're terrified, and especially if you have a family, that somebody's going to come around and or something's going to come around and destroy it. I don't know that I feel the same way like my grandparents did, right? Survivors of the Depression who still kept rubber bands, like 1,000 of them, on a door handle just in case they ever ran out.
You're worried about going to Whole Foods and not having the organic tomatoes.
Well, it's sure. Once you achieve a spot in life, you absolutely want to make sure that everything is working out.
Right. Yeah.
Not my grandparents with like the 12 miniature cans of pineapple juice just in case.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to waste any pineapple juice. Like the whole Depression thing is crazy. But I don't know how many people do. I don't know whether you people worry about what's out there. In the last couple of days, Justin, you sent us all kinds of stories that make you wonder about like how fragile we are. There are 100 sharks amassing in the North Atlantic right now.
Yeah.
Are they? Should we be bracing for an attack? Maybe not here. We're on the West Coast. But if you're on the Northeast, I'd be worried.
I'd be thinking about it.
For sure.
Are the sharks circling Pete and Russ?
Yeah, Peter King sure seems to think so.
Yeah.
You also told us about a cube-shaped object they've discovered on the dark side of the moon that no one can explain.
Yeah, there really isn't one yet. It sounds like they have to wait a few more days to get satellites closer to get a picture of it while it's still in light or something.
So,
yeah.
I don't know whether they're under attack for unseen forces that are forcing, you know, sharks to gather or going to attack alien style from the moon. But we continue to live our life, I think, without threat, because if we worried about threat, we couldn't focus or be happy. And I guess it just got me wondering about the Seahawks and whether or not they were worrying too much, right? Whether they were sort of paralyzed by some of that fear, all the tension from this past off season, trying to make Russ happy and working on the offensive coordinator and Shane Waldron, trying to make sure that he gets to keep his job by not offending Pete, not offending Russ, and who's going to still be here next year. And if Jody makes a choice, what direction does she go? Were they just kind of in their own head to the point where they just didn't think about being aggressive because they were too busy being in protection mode?
And thinking, like, everybody's been talking about the last year, the championship window's closing. Like, if you're going to seize one, you got to do well. You still got Bobby and you still got Russ in his prime. And, yeah, that's probably a lot of pressure to think about.
Yeah, and does that make it harder to even consider cutting loose, so to speak, and sort of maybe they've been freed in the last couple of weeks, in addition to all of those other examples or issues or reasons I gave you earlier with, you know, kind of the weather and your defense and the injuries and Geno, et cetera. Maybe it wasn't even a possibility until this week. So I think that there, it's a really good question. The answer, as usual, is a whole lot more complicated than the question is. But why was this the first time we've really seen them, you know, go after it and be aggressive like that? Well, there's sort of five potential things that have contributed to that.
Hear the Mike Salk Show every morning from 6 to 10 on 710 ESPN Seattle.